So we're just going to read today's passage before Adam comes and explains it to us. So we're in Acts chapter 2 today, which is in page 1094 of the Pew Bibles, 1094. And it's Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
James, thank you for reading that. Let me add my welcome to that of James's. I'm Adam, the vicar here. It's great to see you here. And after a kid's slot like that, James, I'm not sure I need to add much more. What is church about? No mucking about, drinking lots of red wine, go home. Quentin summed it all up. There must be more. Thank you so much for reading. Keep it open, page 1094. Let me pray as we begin and ask for the Lord's help as we look at his word. Father, you assure us that all scripture is God-breathed. It's from you, and it's useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training. And so we pray you'd do that now by your word in the power of your spirit. We pray you'd make us more like the people you long for us to be, knowing you better, loving you more, loving each other more, and all for your praise and glory as we go out into your world. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure we all know the feeling where you sort of get up from the sofa and you wander into the kitchen, and as you've crossed that sort of, I don't know, 6-7 meters maybe, if you're lucky, divide from living room to kitchen, and you get there and think, why am I here again? What on earth have I come in here for? And then a few nods for those who admit it. And you sort of have to retrace your steps. There weren't many steps, but you retrace your steps to try and remember why on earth you've come into the kitchen. After the year we've had, mostly meeting thanks to the internet, but now and again in person, and now hopefully more routinely in person, that is not a bad question to ask as we find ourselves not in the kitchen, but in the church building. Why are we here again? Why are we here? And I don't mean the big existential question of why are we here, but I mean why are we here? In this building, at this time, under this roof, together. And actually, having done it online for about a year, and it's been fine, and as we've all admitted, there's been church in pyjamas, church with breakfast on our knees. It's been quite convenient. Why don't we just stay online? It's a lot cheaper than running the building. Why are we here? Why do we gather? That's what we're spending our next few Sundays about. And throughout the Bible, from Genesis, right in the first book of the Bible, to Revelation, the very last words of God in the Bible, people have always and will always gather as God's people, in person, same time, same place. And so you get to Hebrews chapter 12, and the writer implores us, he demands, do not give up meeting together. And we can answer, why? And to do what? And so this passage this morning that James read, that it offers just two principles that help us with the why and the what of a gathering like this, like us this morning. And that they're principles, they're not prescriptions. So there's some freedom and flexibility in how they're practiced, but it's important these principles remain at the heart. And what's going on? Well, just as the gospel started to spread, here we are in sort of first century Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, just as it's starting to spread after Jesus has died and risen and ascended to be with his Father, thousands have just become Christians hearing Peter's sermon. And then we're told, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In short, two principles for us today. They're devoted to God's word and devoted to each other, God's people. It's not that there aren't other things that a church can be and should be doing and about, but these are the first principles from which anything else must follow. These are the foundations first. And that original word for devoted is very strong in the original Greek. I don't know about you, I hear that word in the English. I tend to sort of find that I and others, we sort of misuse it, don't we? It's a feeling. It's in a pop song, a romantic feeling. That's what it describes. But the original is an active verb. To be devoted means you stick by and you stick with. Thick and thin, come what may. Devoted to God's word and God's people. We're just going to look at each now. Devoted to God's word. What does that mean? Well, as the apostles who taught them, there they are in Jerusalem, as these apostles then started to leave Jerusalem city walls and headed out into the wider world, their teaching continued to all believers, but by correspondence course. They wrote letters, and our New Testaments is essentially very much by and large a collection of their letters to the local churches then, preserved for us by God's Spirit to be for local churches now. And then we read those letters, and we can see that they spoke so clearly and plainly of God's plans and purposes for his people and for his world. And so you go to those letters, you've got huge, big picture theology, and you've got right down to the nitty gritty of daily life. And the teaching of these apostles that they were devoted to, it totally upturned the worldview of these first believers in these local churches. It rattled their thinking, it redefined their lifestyles, let alone just what they do as they gathered on a Sunday morning or whenever it was. That's important because very often people today say, you know, the Bible is just so outdated, God's word is so irrelevant, it was nice then for them, but it's pretty twee at best and bigoted and awful at worst now, people will say. But no, God's word, the apostles' teaching then, it spoke into their lives in ways that totally were against the grain of the culture they knew. This was like nothing they'd heard before. But rather than be distracted by what the world taught and how the world would respond, no, we're told they devoted themselves to what God taught, to what his word said. That was at the heart. And that's why just a few pages later, as you get to Acts chapter 6, as church life, if you like, starts to get going and the complexities of just being family together, there's lots and lots going on wonderfully. And so they realized in their devotion, they had to make sure the apostles stayed the teachers. And so they set up ministry teams, if you like, so that other things could happen within the life of the church and its care, but so the teachers kept teaching. That was their devotion. Utterly devoted to God's word, no distraction. Made me think a little bit like our car stereo. I'm sure all car stereos do this if you've got one. I think it's very impressive every time it happens. It's got a little button. If you press in the car, it gives you the traffic updates as you're driving along. It's probably extremely old-fashioned, I don't know. But it's very clever, so you can have it in the background. So as you're driving along, whatever's playing on the radio is interrupted by the travel announcement as you're going along, so you don't miss this important bit of an update on your journey. And now for us in our car, that means as that kicks in, we have to call for instant silence from the barbarian horde in the back to make sure we can actually hear what's going on and not miss it. You could say, if you wish, we are devoted to hearing those travel instructions to make sure we get to where we're going and nothing drowns it out. Well, what is this principle of being devoted to God's word? What does it mean for us here today? It means the teaching of God's word, doesn't it, has got to be at the heart of why we gather. It's got to be at the heart of a Sunday service. A significant chunk of my week goes into the planning and preparation of the sermon. And when I meet mates, and particularly non-church mates out in the community, they say, what do you do all week? I sort of feel, do I have to sort of sheepishly admit, spend a significant amount of the hours just on this 25-minute talk, which may well surprise you. But that is the priority. If this is God's word, we sit under it, and we want to be taught. And so a significant amount of my time goes into making sure that it is faithful and clear. And so that means I have to be disciplined and delegate as required to make sure that I and we aren't distracted week by week. And that means God's word not only shapes the sermon, but the passage we're looking at will influence the songs we sing, the prayers we offer. Everything we do influenced and determined by that principle. It's that principle that means we think hard about how do we best teach the family Sunday by Sunday each week. And at the moment, as we come out of COVID and as we think about that, we've been thinking, well, let's get everybody together. And James taught brilliantly with the children at our feet on the same passage with a song that helps them think about it too. But we're teaching all of us. And then as they go off and have fun in the halls and burn off some steam, we continue thinking together about the same passage. And then we can regroup together. And families go off to lunch and chat together about the same passage, the same teaching that we've all heard under God's word. It means as we gather on a Sunday morning, we are encouraging and deepening our corporate devotion to God's word so that as we leave this Sunday morning, we can better be equipped to cope with the distraction of all the noises outside. We go out into the world for the week ahead, still as God's people, but no longer gathered, scattered to wherever he's sending us, workplaces, neighbors, different families, different friends, but all sorts of different noise about our daily lives. And we want to know God's word as we go into that. And the principle, therefore, that applies to the us, the Sunday gathering, the we, has to apply to the me, the you. It's right we ask, am I personally devoted to God's word? Acts 2 doesn't sort of specify here, does it, this is what they did when they gathered together. This is just who they now were. Together and apart, devoted to God's word. So simple things, as we gather on a Sunday, will you come having read the passage in advance? Because it's then that little bit fresher, and you're a little bit more prepared to hear and be taught. Will you make notes, or draw, or sketch, or do whatever it is that helps you sort of concentrate? It's hard, isn't it? We start to think about Monday morning, all the distractions of our life. What will you do as you come to listen to God's word? And what will we do to make sure that the principle of that devotion spills out from Sunday into Monday? I was reading this week, and someone asked a very helpful question. I said, if you and I added up the amount of time we spend watching TV or browsing the internet, whatever it is, and then compared that to reading God's word, how would it look? Now, I know a movie is a couple of hours long, and that's going to be a lot of Bible reading, but you see the point. And as I thought about that, I thought, is it any surprise that I and we will find the Christian life a struggle and a slog? Because I've got so many other voices coming in that I don't really know God's voice. And time and again, I'll sort of say, I often wrestle with this verse or that verse and how it applies. Actually, I'm not sure I do wrestle. It's more of a glance and a groan and a give up and put the telly back on. Now, the first principle is to be devoted to God's word, both as we gather and then as we go out. Principle two, to be devoted to one another. Let me just continue, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That the devotion to one another is summed up in that word, fellowship. It's not a word we use so much nowadays. And we'll look at breaking bread and prayer in a couple of weeks. But fellowship is a word that, again, a bit like devotion, is often misused because we don't tend to use it. But when we do use it in Christian circles, we often kind of use fellowship to make socializing sound spiritual. Everybody else goes for coffee or down the pub with their mates. We go and have some fellowship. Do we? What does that even mean? Socializing is really important and really fun and vital. But when the Bible speaks of fellowship, it doesn't mean just the time with your mates at the pub. But it could mean that. Because fellowship speaks of prayerfully and practically encouraging others in Christ. It's about prayerfully and practically being alongside each other to keep us going in Christ. If you like, fellowship is about helping other fellows stay on the ship. That is appalling, isn't it? That was all my own work. But that is, again, if that just sticks with you today and you groan, then at least you'll know. That's fellowship. And the verses spell it out much more helpfully than being on board ship. Look at this. They say it's all about caring, and being committed. So verse 44, this is what it looks like. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. It's in our weddings today, isn't it, that we encourage, well, the vows tell the couple that they say, all that I have, I share with you. And yet that is the principle of a devoted church family in Acts chapter 2. That is the principle that shapes their fellowshipping, their caring. And as we're told, they were all together. It doesn't mean they were all under one roof in some sort of gated community. No, the emphasis is simply that their caring commitment meant there was nobody in need amongst them. They wouldn't have it. They really cared for one another. And they were really committed, weren't they? It said that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. In other words, they formally gathered together for them then every day, publicly at the temple gates, and then informally in their homes. And again, it's principle, not prescription. For us now, we gather more formally once a week on Sunday mornings like now, twice a week if you want to include Wednesday evenings in our small groups, but the principle's the same. We're to gather out of devotion to God's word and to fellowship with one another. I read somewhere else this week, it's why it became known as the church service, because that's where God's people gathered to serve each other in his name. Those emperor penguins on the slide are huddling together in the Antarctic. Perhaps you saw David Attenborough's relatively recent documentary about them. And there, the temperatures fall less than below 40 degrees Celsius. The sun doesn't shine for months on end. And they have to huddle together like that in a huge circle of sort of collective rings together. And you take it in turns. Mr. and Mrs. Penguin take it in turns side by side on the outer ring of the circle. And as they take the cold, icy blast, you sort of shuffle round and head further and further in to the middle of the circle, where apparently it gets so warm you have to then eat the snow to try and cool down. But should Mr. and Mrs. Penguin think, I'm bored of this, let's go it alone, let's just come and go when suits, and if I get too cold I'll nip back in, pop by, at least come and say hello to everyone so I'm not forgotten and a familiar face. Well, the colony misses them and their body heat, and ostensibly they miss the colonies. I think we can all guess what happens to Mr. and Mrs. Pingu if they're not in the circle. See, the church is to be devoted to one another, to care and to commit for the sake of the other. So what does that mean for us as a church family? Well, it's been a huge encouragement this past year where we've really been forced to do that in isolation, if you will. So as we've locked down the buildings, the church building was closed, but the church was still alive, weren't we? So encouraging to hear of all the care and commitment that was going on behind the scenes and very much outside these doors to keep people going in Christ. And similarly, I guess as we read those verses about what they shared with each other, who can't be struck by their example that when someone was in need, it wasn't those who just went home and looked at their bank statement and said, I've got a bit more to give, I could help them out. No, someone was in need, they went home, they looked around at their belongings and thought, stick it on eBay. It's just a picture on the wall, someone else needs it more. It's an astonishing example of the one anothering, of devotion to the fellowship. But particularly for Sundays, as we gather on a Sunday morning, what do we learn here? What does it mean to be devoted to each other? I don't think it's very flashy, but just simply turning up is a tremendous start. Simply being here. Thanks for being here this morning. And I guess just one-off is one thing, but it's the care and caring commitment to do that weekly. To come each week. And of course, as time goes by, that means it's going to take turning down other invitations, perhaps better ones, perhaps really appealing ones. It's going to mean getting back from holiday in time. It's going to mean declining sports or socials or whatever it is, not to keep some unwritten rules of membership or code of conduct. No, but simply out of devotion to the Lord and his people, we long to stick by and stick with. We care and commit for each other. If we don't come one week, we're missed. Of course, there's always going to be reasons why we can't come, but you see the point. There's a responsibility of caring for those we're no longer with if we're not there. And what a joy it is as we gather and meet under the same building, under the same roof together. As we look around, who do we see as we see one another? Well, we see those struggling with chronic illnesses, or those grieving the death of a loved one. And yet they're here. And you can't help but well up as they sing, "It is well with my soul." We see someone whose family are totally disappointed in them and no longer understand them and this change of direction. And yet they're here. We see the healthy and the comfortable gathering to remember who they actually depend on, where their blessings come from, and whom can they share them with. We see the young trusting Christ for the first time. We see the less young sticking Christ for the umpteenth time. We see a gathering of people, all sorts of different people, all sorts of different burdens and stages of life, all sorts of people who gather not to come for the me, but for the we. And so right now, whilst we're, as James said at the start, we're still masked, we can't sing, we can't really mingle, and so lots of the caring and commitment goes on throughout the week, and praise God for that and for all of you. I know lots of us have known the benefit and blessing of it, and long may it continue. But we're to see from God's word that is also why we gather on Sundays. It is out of that devotion to God's word and to one another. The Bible anticipates our fellowshipping is done as part of, just not exclusively, to our Sunday worshiping. It's who we are. It's why we meet. Perhaps the question, the takeaway question means, as we're wondering perhaps on those Sundays where it really is a slog, where it really is hard, when we're thinking, actually, why do I bother going this week? What will I get out of it? No, it's always, what will I give this week? What can I share? And of course, as we do that, well, we're very grateful, aren't we, for the live stream, and very pleased that it can serve those who really can't be here for all sorts of reasons, particularly illness and ill health. Might be those further afield for whom there's no Bible-teaching, Jesus-loving church nearby, for whom this sort of live stream's a great help. But it can never be, can it, in place of gathering. The Bible's very clear. It wasn't just because they didn't have Wi-Fi that they were devoted to God's word and to each other, and so they met. And as they did that, just as I close, look what happened as a result. Look at verse 47. As they did that, they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. It almost feels like a sort of a by the way, a PS, doesn't it? But the point is that the church that is founded on the Lord's principles, devoted to his word, devoted to his people, well, then the Lord grows them. It's he who drew others to them daily. As they went about the very odd activity of gathering together to listen to sermons, to encourage each other and serve each other, the Lord drew many to them to be saved. The Lord drew people for whom they came and saw a community that was like nothing else on earth, as we thought about last week. And by the gift of the Lord's Spirit, they saw and were saved by Jesus too. Friends, why are we here? Let it be out of devotion to God's word and devotion to each other. And so may the Lord add to us those who are being saved by him. Let me pray. Loving Father, we thank and praise you for your plans and purposes for your people and this world. And we thank and praise you for that early church who had their lives upturned and transformed by the teaching of your word, convicting them of sin and running to their Saviour, and for their newfound devotion to hear more of you and about you and to apply it to their lives, and to care for each other, that they could speak your truth into one another's lives, and to do that whenever they met. And so we thank you we can be here this morning to do that, to sit under your word, to serve each other. And we pray that as lockdown lifts, as as the guidelines change and make kind of something of normal church doable again, we pray those principles will be at the heart of all decisions we make, of how we shape Sundays, shape our life as a church family together, in devotion to your word and devotion to each other. And we pray in your name. Amen.